I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
Warning. You're about to enter the arena and join the battle to save America with your host, John Parnell.
What is up, battle crew? What is up, America? It's a great day to live in the greatest country on the face of the planet, and it's a great day to be an American from sea to shining sea and everybody in between. Welcome, Patriots. Listen, folks, I got a huge show for you today. I'm excited to get right into it. A couple things, though, right off the top. A special shout out and thanks to Rumble for helping me work through all of these issues. Rumble, of course, is going to be a bastion for free speech in 2024. And I can tell you with certainty now, after having talked to many of the folks who actually work at Rumble, that they the number of censorship requests that they are getting from foreign governments is astronomical. Obviously, who's behind all of those requests? The World Economic Forum and the censorship oligarchs and the elites there. But Rumble is holding the line. And so they are under attack today. We had some issues, but they helped me figure it all out. So thank you to folks at Rumble for helping to keep Battleground Live on the air. Okay, let me just jump right into the rundown here and then we'll get right into it because I got a huge show today. I got lots to get to. Biden's broken brain. I mean, it gets worse and worse every day. I'm going to play some sound for you here right at the top of the show. It's going to blow your mind. Maybe it won't. We all know he's an animated corpse. And I say this all the time, by the way. They dipped this guy in the Lazarus pit. And it is less effective every day. I'm convinced that somewhere in the basement of the White House, there is a pit. And they bring Joe Biden down there, probably in some robe, probably some creepy ritual where they dip him in there and hope that it revitalizes him every day. I mean, Trump would say, oh, they're shooting something in his butt and give him drugs, maybe so that he could function for the day. I think it's the Lazarus pit. It's the only thing that's powerful enough to keep this guy alive. Okay. Lots of bad opinions on, yeah, maybe not necessarily bad, but ignorant. Maybe that's even too strong of a word. How about this? Lots of opinions about what happened in Pennsylvania last night. I've run for office twice in Pennsylvania. You know, I don't say this, I don't brag about myself very often, but I'll tell you this. I know this state, I know the politics in this state, and I know how the game is played. I'm going to give you a full breakdown of what happened last night so that you have all the facts. We're talking about the dangers of stock platitudes as it pertains to American foreign policy and the lack of real leadership that we have in Congress right now and why that's dangerous for all of us. Billions of dollars, and by the way, not enough people are talking about this, but billions of dollars in this aid package for non-governmental organizations or NGOs that are facilitating the invasion of America. That's dangerous. It's absolutely ridiculous that we live in a country where we're funding our own invasion, funding our own demise. Saw this headline today also of 12 years in prison for an American for accidentally leaving four rounds of hunting ammunition in his luggage on a vacation in Turks and Caicos. This dude could be locked up for 12 years. We'll talk a little bit about that very quickly. And we're going to end the show today with, this is, we're just about either it's today or yesterday, but the 4-year anniversary of COVID lockdowns is happening. And I pledge to never forget what both Republicans and Democrats and unelected bureaucrats did to us. And so we're going to talk about it. We are never going to forget the tyrants that locked us down during COVID and what they did to us. And we're going to talk about it because we're going to be damn well sure that it never, and I mean never, happens again in this country. Biden, the Lazarus Pit, is the guy on drugs, or is he taking some sort of magical elixir that keeps him going? I don't know. But every day that goes by, I think that somehow I think it can't get any worse that this Weekend at Bernie's nightmare that is our lives for the last 3.5 years can't get any worse. And that my hope and my prayer is that in 2024, it goes away forever and they can finally get rid of Joe Biden and he can live the life that he's always wanted to live. That is in retirement, not talking to anybody, not engaging with anybody. Just, it's just like the guy's absolutely ridiculous. I'm leading off the show with this soundbite because I think, one, it's funny. Two, it's kind of tragic. And three, I think it speaks to something that is very legitimately wrong with the president's brain and no one is willing to talk about it. Listen to Joe Biden today reading the teleprompter. This guy is like Ron Burgundy. If you've ever seen the movie Anchorman, Ron Burgundy will read anything that's put in the teleprompter. It's a classic movie. If you haven't seen it, you should go watch it. It's really funny. But this is Joe Biden today. Listen.
Imagine what we can do next. 4 more years. Pause.
4 more years. 4 more years. 4 more years.
But he goes, well, imagine what we could do. 4 more years. Pause. His speechwriter wrote the speech. It's in the teleprompter right there in front of him. And he wrote, like, in other words, 4 more years, and then in parentheses, pause, like pause here for impact. Joe Biden read the word pause. You understand that? Let's just talk about how this is dangerous, because it's evidence that his brain is not really processing words as he's reading them off of his teleprompter. In other words, he's just like an animated corpse, a zombie that is reading words but not understanding what he's saying. He's an empty shell of a person. This is bad, folks. It is to me a very, very concrete sign of cognitive decline, of maybe even dementia. He doesn't know what the hell is going on. And so this leads me to this question. Could Joe Biden even work at Walmart as a greeter right now? And even saying that, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, my gosh, Sean, don't insult Walmart greeters. Like, Joe, comparing them to Joe Biden, how dare you? But could Joe Biden do that? Ask yourself that question. Seriously. I don't think that he could. I don't think that he could greet people effectively at Walmart. I don't think that he could stand on his feet for several hours in a row and even handle it's not very physical being a greeter at Walmart, but at a minimum, you have to stand on your feet. You have to have an ability to greet people and have a conversation with them. I don't think that Joe Biden could do that. And I'm not throwing political jabs at the guy. I legitimately don't think he could do the job. Yet this man, you would have me believe that this man is the leader of the free world. First of all, that should concern the hell out of you if it doesn't already. But also, it begs the question of who's really running the show. Barack Obama. Barack Obama. Valerie Jarrett. But the point is, this is really bad. And I think that it's dangerous for our country. The president of the United States, not only is he just, he's not just like old, he can't even read the teleprompter. In fact, the most, you know how the most powerful person on earth is right now? You know who that person is? It's the person who puts the words in Joe Biden's teleprompter. And so here you have Joe Biden completely just not capable of doing the job of president. And that you have Republicans on the other hand. Okay, you have Democrats, by the way, are completely backing Joe Biden. They've completely circled their wagons around this guy. Now, there have been some arguments about, well, are they going to replace him at the convention? I don't know. There might be some shenanigans there. We'll see. I think it's going to be hard for Democrats to do that. I just do. Unless Biden steps down voluntarily, I think it's going to be very, very difficult for the Democrats to just pull the rug out from underneath this guy. There are all sorts of legal and procedural hurdles that you need to execute as a candidate in order to get your name on a ballot. There's a process. That process can't be replicated in a day. Process takes, you know, months in some cases. For example, to get on a ballot, you need to get thousands of signatures. And in order to do that, you have to have people walking door to door and signing on the dotted line saying that, yes, it's okay with them if you run for office. So my point is, this isn't something that can just happen overnight. But the Democrats, even with Biden's cognitive decline, the Democrats are still backing him. Here we have Republicans in the House of Representatives. And I was thinking about this today, folks. I really, truly believe this. I'm getting to the point where I believe that the vast majority of the establishment GOP does not want Trump to win. I would say it's not 50-50. I'll tell you that. I think that more than half of the Republicans in the Senate and in the House of Representatives don't want Trump to win. I think that they want to win back a House majority, want to pad their majority with a few more seats in the House. I think they want to pick up a few Senate seats. And again, I think the Senate map this cycle is very favorable. But I think Republicans are eminently comfortable in divided government, where they can just point the finger and try to blame Democrats. In this case, it would be Republicans holding the House, Senate, Biden in the White House. I think that they believe that they can get more things done like that. Because as you know, Republicans don't like to take risks. They don't take stances. They just like to point the finger. Look at what's happening to Trump right now. The political persecution, which, by the way, over the last couple of days, it's never been more clear that the Democrats, the Biden White House, Merrick Garland, and the Biden Department of Justice are at the core of this lawfare against Trump. It's there's evidence of it now. What's the GOP done? Have they subpoenaed, you know, Big Fanny or Pudge Alvin or Fat Tish? Have they done any of that? Have they fought back against beady-eyed little freak prosecutor Jack Smith? Not only is the answer no, they've done nothing. Maybe at worst, they've put together a few strongly worded letters. But not only have they done nothing, they've funded these, you know, pillars of Democrat lawfare. I mean, they funded them. Our representatives are allowing this to happen. So if we understand that to be the truth, then we also, I think, have to believe that there are Republicans that just don't want Trump to be elected at all. They're just happy. Otherwise, they'd be fighting more. Otherwise, they'd be defending Trump. They're happy to ride his coattails. Happy to ride his coattails to victory. But Republicans aren't doing anything. Hell, they're not even really speaking out in unified fashion about this. So this is going to lead me into breaking down Pennsylvania, because what ends up happening is you have all the usual suspect Republicans, these prognosticators that think they know what the hell they're talking about. And boy, isn't there a direct correlation between people who think they know what they're talking about and having a big mouth, right? Lots of people like that in politics who have big egos, but have no real reason to have big egos.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
You have all the usual suspects, never Trumpers or prognosticators, that think that last night in Pennsylvania, yesterday was Pennsylvania's primary, you think last night is a big warning sign for Trump. I'm telling you right now, it wasn't. Okay. In fact, it should be a big warning for Biden. But my point about Republicans in general, Americans are really, really struggling right now. There's not a day that goes by that I don't hear from somebody, whether it's an email, a text message, comment in one of my videos, I'm out in the town, people see me, they come up to me, they talk to me, they say, what the hell are we going to do? How are we going to save this country? I'm really struggling, I can't afford things. People are really struggling right now. And rather than defend President Trump and cut off funding for all the lawfare, what are Republicans doing? What's the Speaker of the House doing? He's going to Columbia University to have a press conference there to tell all these dirtbag terrorist sympathizers to be nice to one another. That's where we are right now as a country. That's what we have right now in Republican representatives. And before the show, Brock and I, producer extraordinaire, were talking about, you know, just the fact that we have Republicans in deep red districts in Pennsylvania who are just not voting the way that our party or that we the people want them to. If you're a Republican in a deep red state or a deep red district, you are the one that needs to be out there pushing for change, really truly representing the people, speaking out, throwing red meat bombs, going after the Democrats. You can say that stuff and still win by a landslide. If you're in a swing district, it's more difficult. I understand that. Those people have to be, their approach has to be a little bit more milquetoast. But the Republicans that Brock and I were talking about, they're in deep red districts. Absolutely no excuse to toe the line with the status quo if that is the case. No excuse. And I'm looking at the live chat here in Rumble. Sergeant T said, you know, why don't you run again? Asking me. I'll answer the question directly because I think there's a lot of misconceptions about this and about why I got out of running in the first place. But that is I would wager to say the very first victim of lawfare. And the problem, the way that they came after me is they came after my family and my children. My children are still young. And so, you know, I've got a 17-year-old, a 15-year-old, two 13-year-olds, and an 11-year-old. And so I knew that I knew that I was going to win the primary if I stayed in, even with all the drama that happened in the Senate race. But I knew that in order for me to stay in, I would have had to go after and discredit my ex and attack my ex. And that is not something that I was not going to do. As much as I would have wanted to go out there and say that stuff, I know that I'm just being honest with you. it would have been terrible for my family. It would have been terrible for my children. And so I knew after everything that happened in the Senate, and by the way, everything that happened was completely fake. It was completely fake. I just knew that I had to make sure that I got to spend as much time with my children as humanly possible, because we were about to go through some really tough times. Now we are through that. There is, I'm saying all this to say that there is light at the end of the tunnel. If you're persistent, if you fight, if you don't give up and you fight for what's right, there is an end to the lawfare. And my family's through that, and we're bigger, we're stronger, and we're tighter than we've ever been. But running for office, if I do that again, I still have the same Democrat judge over my case. I still have the same issues. And that's the whole point. And I don't want to miss out on the youth of my children. So the very simple answer to that is I'm just going to wait a little longer until my children get older. And then you can bet I will be back in the fight. But to be honest with you all, like I'll tell you this. I see what's happening in Washington, and I see how dysfunctional things are, and I see the weak-kneed leadership that we have there. And I've got to tell you, Sergeant T and everybody else who are wondering, I loathe those people. I'm not a joiner, right? I am not. I loathe weak leadership, and I loathe political games. If you know me and you have any experience with me, then you know that I wear what you see is what you get. Like I can't fake being one way. And that dynamic is how it is in Washington with a lot of representatives. It's absolutely unbelievable to me how much they lie to people and how comfortable they've become with that. I cannot operate like that. So I'm saying that to say, I absolutely love doing this show. I love getting a chance to engage with you. And I love getting an opportunity to build this coalition of Americans who just love this country. And so this show, you know, shout out to Wendy Bell and Brock, and watching this show grow has been just amazing. But this show has been an amazing surprise for me. So yes, I will get back in the fight, but it's not going to be until my kids get a little bit older. And that's just the truth. But okay, let's get back. Speaking of getting back in the fight in Pennsylvania, let me talk to you about what happened in the primary yesterday. Oh my gosh, the show is ticking away. Time is ticking and I'm a talking. So let me see if I can move on here. Okay. So Pennsylvania is a state, as they say, that closes late and closes fast. You have a lot of independents in the state, well over 1.2 million independents. And in fact, independents in the state of Pennsylvania are actually out registering Democrats and Republicans. Republicans are out registering Democrats, and I'll get to that in a second. But independents are the largest growing political, fastest growing political group in Pennsylvania. And so many of those independents aren't paying attention until later in the game. And when they do, they make their decision. In some cases, they're making their decision as they're at the ballot box. And that's why Pennsylvania closes late and closes very, very fast. And in Pennsylvania also, this is what so many people don't understand this. It's basically the reason why Pennsylvania is so challenging. And I would argue it's probably more challenging than any other swing state for this reason, is that when you're running in Pennsylvania, you're running in essentially three different states. You could poll each one of these areas differently. You poll the Southeast in and around Philly. Okay. So you have Philadelphia, and you have Delaware County, and you have Montgomery County in the Southeast. Then you've got Central Pennsylvania, and then you've got Western Pennsylvania. All three of those places are as different as you could possibly imagine. And people just have very different needs in those geographic locations. So as a candidate, boy, you've got to be a great candidate to run statewide in Pennsylvania as a Republican. If you're a Democrat, you can focus on three counties. In fact, that's what the Democrats do. They'll go to Allegheny County, they'll go to Montgomery County, they'll go to Philadelphia County, and maybe Delaware County. But my point is, Democrats focus, they got it easy in Pennsylvania because they focus on heavily Democrat areas. And because Democrats outregister Republicans, they've got a numerical advantage. Now, I've got to say this because there are Republican, there are never Trumpers and these prognosticators, these Republican doomers that are out there after last night saying that Trump can't win Pennsylvania. Folks, battle crew, Trump was the last Republican, or he was the first Republican to win Pennsylvania since Ronald Reagan won 32 years ago. Think about that. Ronald Reagan won Pennsylvania 32 years ago. The only Republican at the presidential level to win Pennsylvania since is Donald J. Trump. So why in the holy hell do we have people on our side of the aisle out there bashing Trump and saying he can't win? Who the hell else in is out there on our side that could perform in Pennsylvania like Trump? Name somebody. They do not exist. So please don't act like the establishment Republicans in Congress who don't know a damn thing about anything and support our nominee. I mean, honestly, even if you don't like Trump, even if you would have preferred somebody else, listen, this is a show. We welcome everybody in the trenches in the fight to save this country here in America. I'm a Trump guy. I'm honest with you. I've been a Trump guy for a very, very long time, since 2016. But if Trump's not your cup of tea, I get it. But now he's our nominee. So why are Republicans out there bashing him on the television and on social media saying that he can't win based on a bunch of bogus BS that people just don't really understand? You do not hear Democrats do this. Democrats circle their wagons around the nominee. So let me just show you. I want to show you all. I'm going to put up here on the screen. And for our friends who are listening, what you are looking at is a map of Pennsylvania. You have lots of pink and you have some really dark red areas. And what this map shows is for the first time in my life, and for as long as I can remember, the GOP, there are 67 counties in Pennsylvania. The GOP went 67 for 67 in county registration gains ahead of the primary election here and the general election here, which means that in all 67 counties, Republicans outregistered Democrats. That is a huge deal, okay? So let's compare this to the last presidential cycle. Back during the COVID delayed voter registration deadline, that was back in May of 2020, the Democrat advantage for voter registration. This is why it's easier to campaign in Pennsylvania if you're a Democrat, because they have a voter registration advantage. That advantage, they had 803,000 more registered Democrats than Republicans in PA. 803,000. Today, as of right now, that number stands at 397,000. We have more than cut their lead in half since 2020. That is a huge deal. So in that time, 122,000 more voters have joined the rolls, but Democrats lost 195,000 registrants as Republicans gained 210,000. So what does that mean? Yesterday, last night, as the count was happening, and all this morning, I'm sitting there on social media just steaming about this. It's driving me nuts. Can you tell? Oh my gosh, Republicans better get their act together. More Democrats voted than Republicans. And I'm like, no shit, Sherlock. There are more registered Democrats in Pennsylvania than there are Republicans. Of course, more Democrats are going to vote. It's a closed primary. There's no crossover voting happening. Only Republicans vote in Republican primaries. Democrats vote in Democrat primaries. There are more Democrats in this state than there are Republicans. The dynamic was exactly the same when I first ran for office in 2020. And I remember as a first-time candidate being all worried about it, thinking like, oh my gosh, no more Democrats voted than us. We have a real enthusiasm problem. No, we just have more Democrats in the state. No, by the way, independents, fastest growing voting bloc in Pennsylvania can't vote in Pennsylvania primary. So listen, that's a talking point we just need to do away with. Now, let's discuss the vote by mail very quickly. And by the way, Savage Rich is coming on the show tomorrow, and we're going to get into this more. Commander Melanie's texting me. She said, it was 32 years between Reagan and Trump. It's been 40 years since Reagan won. Yes, she's right. Yes, thank you for that correction. I get going sometimes, and sometimes I just say things. I get in the zone and I just roll. Thank you, Commander Melanie, for correcting me. You are very good at that. I know. He's very good at correcting me. Okay, so vote by mail. There are lots of other people out there saying that the vote by mail, the Republicans got crushed, that we don't have a robust enough program. And again, Savage Rich is coming on tomorrow. We're going to break all this down, not just in Pennsylvania, but all over the country for you in more depth, as we always do. But I'm just going to give you the numbers, which are 100% accurate. These do not lie. I verified them. I've done the math. I've checked. I've double checked. The total number of GOP requests for mail-in ballots for the primary election was 236,000. This is roughly an 18% increase from the 2022 primary election. Republicans had 161,000 vote by mail returns. That is roughly a 7% increase from the 2022 elections. And this is really important. In 2022, keep this in mind, that there was a very, very, very hotly contested primary in Pennsylvania. And why does that matter? Because hotly contested primaries drive voter turnout. Okay. So we did better in 24 during this cycle, during vote by mail, than we did in 22 with a hotly contested primary. On the Dem side, there were 650,000 vote by mail requests and 467,000 returns in 2024. During the 2022 primary, the Democrats had 681,000 requests and 550,000 returns. The point is, Republican numbers for vote by mail, of all things, and I hate vote by mail, you hate vote by mail, but we got the rules that we got, and we got to beat the Democrats with them. But here's the bottom line with vote by mail. Republican numbers are going up. Democrat numbers are going down. This is all going to be more intense. Republicans are going to grow more intense as we get closer to the general election. So here's another thing, another stat. I just want you to be armed with the truth, because there's a lot of dumbasses out there that are spouting off at the mouth, excuse my language, that just don't know what they're talking about. So an incumbent president, and talking about Joe Biden, pulled 88% of the share vote in Pennsylvania versus Phillips. No money, zero name ID. Okay. We're talking about the president of the United States. The incumbent president only got 88% of the vote, while some no-name moron, we don't even know the number of uncommitted votes yet, which there are tens of thousands in Pennsylvania. It's going to take a long time to count. But this no-name got 12% of the vote. And so the non-incumbent president, we're talking about Trump right now, pulled just 5.5 points less against Nikki Haley, who spent hundreds of millions of dollars and has much, much higher name ID. Nikki Haley, for what it's worth, she's well known in Pennsylvania. There are a lot of moderates that really like her here. So this isn't an apples to apples comparison when you're looking at Trump versus Biden here in Pennsylvania. And so Biden did worse than Trump in 20, and Trump did better than Biden in 2024. And so let's just look at the total voter turnout, because I know I'm throwing a lot of numbers at you and I don't want to get bogged down or lost in the sauce here. But in 2020, the total voter turnout, Republicans 1.1 million, Democrats 1.5 million. In 2024, Republicans 952,000, Democrats just over 1 million. So keep in mind, no competitive primaries here in Pennsylvania in 2024. The presidential ballot is set. The Senate race here is set. Most congressional races here are set. There are down ballot state house races and down ballot state legislative state senate races that maybe had some primaries, but the Dems dropped significantly They dropped off far faster. Their turnout was far lower than ours, and ours held up pretty good. So the point is that Pennsylvania right now is going to be razor, razor thin in November. It's going to be a lot closer than people think. I'm telling you, folks, Pennsylvania is imminently winnable. Think about it. Just by the numbers, the voter registration advantage that Democrats had back in 2020 at one point was 800,000. Back in 2016, it was even higher. Trump won in 2016. I think that Trump won in 2020 as well. So just keep him. I'm telling you all of this. I know many of you aren't from Pennsylvania, but Pennsylvania is the linchpin for everything. If Republicans win Pennsylvania, we are very likely going back to the White House. Trump's going to be going back to the White House. But at the end of the day, I think it's going to boil down to the economy. And what's fascinating about this is that there's the old adage of what's the economy stupid. That's why people vote. And it's an interesting line. And it's true because people vote with their own pocketbook. You can't spend how much money that you have to spend at the grocery store. You can try, but at the end of the day, Americans are spending money on what they're spending money on. And in this election, you've got two very clear choices. Trump, when he was president, things were great. Biden's president now, things are terrible. So listen to these Pennsylvania voters talk about the economy.
My grocery bill has more than doubled and I get less. Every single thing has gone up under Biden, everything.
I'm not voting for Biden, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I would lean more for Trump, I'll be honest.
So those are Pennsylvania voters. And again, there are lots of people in this state that don't pay attention to what's going on until very, very late. And that's not a knock on them. They're just not political people. And so Quinnipiac now, and we'll move on here. But Quinnipiac right now shows a tie in the national popular vote between Trump and Biden. I mean, think about that. When was the last time that a Republican won the national popular vote? Right now, Trump and Biden with Quinnipiac, and Quinnipiac by and large is a Democrat-friendly poll. When was the last time a Republican won the national popular vote? It's been a long time. And so speaking of elections, boy, I got to move on. I'm like spending a lot of time here on this Pennsylvania stuff, but I want you all to have the truth and have the facts. But a federal judge, listen to this one. A federal judge in North Carolina just ruled that felons are allowed to vote in their state. On the ground, a federal judge ruled that North Carolina must allow felons to vote on the grounds that it's discriminatory to not let criminals help make the laws. This is from Charlie Kirk. This decision is flagrantly against the Constitution, but odds are here's the plan. It's going to end up remaining in effect for the November election and likely get overturned on appeal. So they'll keep it in effect just long enough to get the desired outcome. But the point is here is that the left is totally fine with our country being invaded and illegal aliens having the right to vote. And now they're totally fine with criminals doing it too. Is at any point, are they going to prioritize the needs of actual American citizens? We're the ones that are paying taxes. We're the ones that make this country go, yet we're often the ones that are last in line. I mean, this is what, and this, I'll say this and then I'll move on. We're going to talk about the need for leadership and some of the stuff that's going on in the Senate and foreign policy. But America first. You know, I think there's a sense in Washington that America first means that we're isolationist, and that's not what it means. America first just simply means all politicians should put the American people first. And you look at what's happening with the invasion of their southern border and now letting criminals have the right to vote. What about the law-abiding Americans who have made this country go for the last 200 plus years? We're often left behind. And that's what the America First movement really is all about.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
Let's talk about lack of leadership in Congress. You know, there's a phrase that great leaders are born. Maybe that's true. I don't know. That's not my experience. But I think great leaders have to be humble. They have to be self-effacing. They have to recognize, truly recognize, that leadership is not about them. And this is the thing that gets me with candidates who are running for office and incumbents who hold office. Elections. They run these elections and they get their name on signs in people's yards. And I'm sure wherever it is that you live, you see them. You drive down the road. It's a primary season. I'm sure you see signs. I mean, heck, you see Trump signs all over Pennsylvania. And then as a candidate, you're in or incumbent, if you're running for office, you've got commercials. Hey, look at myself there. I'm on TV. That's cool. Digital ads on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, wherever. Emails that are going out. It's all your name all the time. And there's a way in which people who run for office or people who hold office make elections about them. And you hear them say I phrases, I this, I that, I did this, I stopped this, I voted against this. But that's what always bothered me about the culture of politics. Do you know why that bothers me? Well, it's because elections aren't about them. Elections are about you. Elections are about we the people. It's about you having a say in the political destiny of our country. I just think not a lot of people understand that. They lose sight of that. And then they go to Washington, and then it's all about me, 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 me. And now what we end up with is a bunch of old, out-of-touch folks in Congress who, generally speaking, don't live long enough to feel the pain of the policies that they create. So not only are things all about them, they're so old, they're so out of touch, they've been in office for so long that they just don't care about us. And I was about to lose it this morning, having my coffee, drinking Beard Vet coffee with Commander Melanie. I lost it this morning because I'm reading Chuck Schumer's posts on X, and they're just driving me crazy. Because these stock platitudes, I think, are dangerous for our country. They end up with American sons and daughters fighting and bleeding and dying for this kind of stuff. Leaders that don't really truly understand what the hell they're talking about, but they love to saber rattle and they got big mouths. And Chuck Schumer talking about the aid package for Ukraine, for Israel, for Taiwan, said, tonight America sends a mess. Let me do my Schumer voice, which I realize some of you think that it's probably not that good, but I'm going to do it anyway. Tonight America sends a message to the entire world. We will not turn our back on you. That's how I read it in my mind. And of course, I read this and I think to myself, these politicians have no shame. Because in my mind is screaming one word, Afghanistan. Joe Biden surrendered there. I mean, it was an embarrassment. I mean, and if Afghanistan sent a signal to all of our allies all around the world that America can't be trusted. In fact, the message that was received is, hey, if you can get billions from America, take it while you can get it, because, but don't expect it over the long term, because America is going to pop smoke and leave you in a very vulnerable position. That's ultimately what Afghanistan told our allies. And then Chuckie Schumer also said, this is one of the most consequential measures in Congress has passed in years to protect America's security and the future of democracy. I mean, really? Because I doubt it. I think that the money that we give to Ukraine is not going to make a meaningful difference on the battlefield at all. Israel doesn't need our money. They seem to be prosecuting the war against Hamas just fine. So that's a lie. It's a stock platitude that makes no sense. And this is another thing. Tonight we make Vladimir Putin regret the day that he questioned America's resolve. Vladimir Putin's the worst. He's a tyrant. He's terrible. Do I think that Vladimir Putin gives a damn about this aid package that we passed for Ukraine? No. Why? Because Vladimir Putin is dug in five lines deep. All around the territory that he wants in Ukraine. It's done. It's over with. Again, we are throwing money down the drain. And again, we have nobody in Washington that's willing to tell the truth about this, and hardly anybody in Washington who's ever fought a damn war in the first place. Just drives me absolutely insane. So when I saw Mitch McConnell go on with Dana Perino, and Dana Perino asks Mitch McConnell, is $60 billion enough for Ukraine to win and Russia to lose? And Mitch McConnell's answer about blew my mind, because it just highlights for me, and I think it will for all of you, just somebody who's woefully out of touch with reality, or he's just lying to you. Neither of those two things are good. Listen.
Is $60 billion enough money for Ukraine to push back Russia decisively?
Well, we hope so. It's actually only 0.2% of our gross domestic product. So put in that context, it's not a whole lot of money for us, but it's a very significant step for them, because it gives them the more sophisticated weapons they need to hold the Russians at bay. And we're optimistic. These people are going to win. I mean, the Russians are trying to take their country, and they have enormous incentive, and it doesn't require any of our personnel. We're not getting any Americans killed. We're helping them defend their independence and also degrade the military of one of our biggest adversaries, the Russians.
He knows. He has to know. Maybe, I mean, honestly, folks, maybe he doesn't. I just think that they got to know that this money's not going to make a meaningful difference. They have to know that Ukraine is not going to defeat Russia. They also have to know that Vladimir Putin's goal is not to march across Europe. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want to get into a ground war with America. He just doesn't. And I'm not caring. I mean, I could care less about Vladimir Putin. He's a terrible guy. But I want you to look at American foreign policy over the last 20 years. My question for you all is, how do you think the Afghan people feel about us? First of all, let me back up and ask this. Do you think that the world is a safer place? And I'm going to check here and look here in the live chat in a couple of minutes. But do you think the world is a safer place for having invaded Afghanistan and Iraq? Do you think that we're safer here in America because of those invasions? Do you think that they were a net positive for America? Do you think the world is safer because of the invasion of Afghanistan and Iraq? Now, I was all on board with going after bin Laden. looking back in hindsight, I was also all on, it was all on board at the time going into Iraq, weapons of mass destruction and everything else. It, looking back, of course, I'm against it now. But now look, no, hell no, no, of course not. No, 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 hell no, 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 people in the live chat. That's right. We're not any safer. Let me ask you this now, folks. How do you think the Iraqis, just everyday ordinary Iraqis, and how do you feel, how do you think the Afghans, regular, everyday, ordinary Afghans who just want peace in their lives, how do you think they feel about America? Do you think, let me ask you this, I'm watching here in the live chat. Do you think that Iraqis and Afghans like us or hate us after 10 years plus in Iraq and 20 years plus in Afghanistan? Do they like us or hate us? They don't like us, I'll tell you that. People in Afghanistan, the people that we worked with, interpreters, these are good people. Most of the people in Afghanistan that we worked with didn't want, they despised the Taliban. They just wanted to, what was remarkable about Afghanistan, the kids there had nothing. They don't have shoes, no running water, no electricity. They got a half deflated ball. They're running around in, you know, their version of a front yard, kicking around a soccer ball. Kids are kids in Afghanistan. Kids are the same in Afghanistan as they are in the state. Look at this. They hate us. They hate us. They hate us. They hate us. Never did. They hate us. We used them dirty. We bombed. I mean, this is exactly right. You all know this. I'm not telling you anything new. But why is it that our political leaders don't seem to understand this? Or, I mean, honestly, I think they just don't get it. I don't think they're lying to us about this. I think that they believe that this makes them safer, or maybe if they are lying, they're making money somewhere. But how do you think Ukrainians will feel about America a decade from now, knowing that we sent tens of thousands of them, entire generations, 18 to 60, to the meat grinder to be killed? You know, you see Mitch McConnell and Republicans and Democrats talk about this war like it's some sort of moral, altruistic thing that we're doing. We're allowing them to quote unquote defend democracy. It's a stock platitude. And politicians don't, when they start using stock platitudes, people die, especially when it comes to foreign policy. How do you think Ukrainians will feel about America a decade from now? They probably won't think very highly of us. Okay, so speaking of paying for the security of other nations' borders, let's talk and pivot to the complete lack of security around our border. And along, right there, nestled within this aid package, and people aren't talking about it enough, are billions for NGOs facilitating the invasion of America. Every day that goes by, it seems like there's headline news of some horrifying crime committed by one of these invaders against the most vulnerable among us as Americans. What are Republicans and Democrats, what are they doing about this? They're codifying it all into law. But speaking of horrifying crime, listen to this.
A man has been charged today for allegedly breaking into a St. Joseph County home and sexually assaulting two girls. 25-year-old Miguel Hernandez Ruiz is charged with home invasion and two counts of criminal sexual conduct. He's also being held on an immigration detainer after his temporary work visa expired in December of 2020.
Well, that's just great. I mean, those two 13-year-old girls are going to be potentially scarred. They're going to be scarred for the rest of their lives, all thanks to Democrats and Republicans. Oh, I'm so glad that Speaker Mike Johnson went to Columbia to tell a bunch of terrorist sympathizers to be nice to one another. I mean, you see how many Republicans just don't understand what time it is? And the Biden administration is using the billions that is in this aid package to set up two international field offices, one in Qatar and the other in Turkey. to facilitate the mass migration of refugees and economic migrants from the Middle East and near the Middle East to resettle them throughout American cities. Oh, gee, that just sounds great, does it not? I think that somebody told you this, that you just wait until they start bringing refugees from Palestine here to America. Now, no country on the face of the planet, not even Egypt, their neighbor, which built a wall to stop Palestinians from coming into their country. No other country on the face of the planet wants the Palestinians because chaos tends to follow them everywhere. All of the neighboring countries around there know that. But of course, we're America. Our immigration policy is immigration policy is insanely stupid. But again, your tax dollars funding this invasion. The media, by the way, doesn't seem to care about any of this because they're focused on just getting Trump. I mean, honest to God, like in a podcast recently, you have Hillary Clinton, who is out there accusing. Trump of wanting to quote imprison his opposition, and at the exact same moment she's saying that, Biden is coordinating with Pudge Alvin Bragg to imprison Trump in New York. So again, who is trying to imprison who? It speaks back to the golden rule, right? Anything that the Democrats say about us, they themselves are guilty of. And of course, I'm sure that you've seen all the mass chaos breaking out at college campuses all across the country. Columbia, Harvard, USC, University of Texas at Austin. And by the way, if you want something that would improve your mood a little bit, go watch some of the videos of how the Texas State Police are treating some of the protesters. It's amazing. They're not messing around. And you love to see it. But listen, I saw this. Did you see this? I don't know if you have or not, but I saw this as all of these protests with terrorist sympathizers are erupting all around our country. Did you see what Christopher Wray said about protests? If you haven't, listen to this one.
Are you actively monitoring these protests?
We don't monitor protests, but we do share intelligence about specific threats of violence.
You know, that's absolutely ridiculous. They only monitor school board meetings, churches, Republican presidential campaigns, protests supporting terrorism. Oh, gosh, that's a bridge too far for the FBI. You see what's happening here, right? What used to be what was the summer of love and Antifa and Black Lives Matter in the lead up to the 2024 election. Who's it going to be this summer? These protests aren't organic. They are funded very likely by George Soros. You see, if you get an opportunity to look at some of these tent cities that are popping up in these universities, look at their tents. They all match. They're all the same color. You think stupid college kids are going to the store and buying the exact same tents? Who's funding the protests? What was Antifa, Black Lives Matter is going to become for the 2024 election. This cycle is going to be pro-Hamas rioters. You watch. And the FBI, well, they'll ignore it. So expect, I think, instability in this summer and in the fall leading up to the 2024 races. And keep your head on a swivel if you're in an American city. But you see the game here, right, folks? For the last 6 months, we've watched the Department of Justice and the FBI commit one egregious violation of our rights as conservatives after the next. You see protesters outside of Planned Parenthood just sitting there and praying. They're facing up to 11 years in prison. FBI is saying that moms who go to school board meetings and are raising hell about porn in elementary school, that the teachers are forcing children to read. They're saying that those moms in yoga pants are domestic terrorists. The FBI is deliberately targeting Trump supporters in the FBI while simultaneously letting these pro-Hamas terrorist sympathizers go. So we know, I'm not telling you anything new. I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. Obviously, there's two standards here. But you see how you're caught in the middle, right? Because the elites, they don't like you. They have a disdain for you. They create these policies that hurt you, that allow these, you know, insane kids to be radicalized, that allow for these protests to be, you know, that law enforcement look the other way. And the violent protesters, well, they hurt you too, because, you know, they're burning down your businesses. They're creating instability. They're hurting people who get caught in the middle, who just might happen to be out walking their dog in the city. I mean, how many people died during the quote unquote summer of love? My point is, not only are there a two-tiered system of justice, you're the one who gets screwed. Again, America last. America first, again, I'm going to reiterate for people. America first doesn't mean isolationist. America first means I want to put the American people first. But it just seems like every time I turn around, there's some new policy that puts the American people last, and it's just pissing me off. I got to touch on this very quickly. An American accidentally packed 4 rounds of hunting ammunition, took a vacation in Turks and Caicos, was caught by TSA, He didn't even know that he had anything in his bag, didn't even know he was doing anything wrong. Was caught and detained in Turks and Caicos, and now faces 12 years in prison for having a tiny bit of hunting ammunition in his carry-on bag. These people in Turks and Caicos, they are literally talking about this American citizen missing his children growing up because of this mistake. I mean, listen, folks, if Turks and Caicos, first of all, don't visit there until this guy is sent home. In the Biden administration, this was covered on, I think, Good Morning America. I mean, can you put politics aside for a second? If it were me, I'm on the phone with Turks and Caicos. I'm saying, hey, listen, I don't give a damn. You release this guy back into America, or I'm going to drop a freaking Moab over the presidential palace. Moab, mother of a bomb. I'm sorry. I'm tired of these foreign countries taking advantage of American citizens, taking Americans hostage. Now, of course, I'm just joking around when I talk about dropping a Moab on the presidential palace at Turks and Caicos. So if the FBI and the NSA are watching or listening to this, which of course I know you are, just joking about that. But you, like, how is it that Turks and Caicos, of all places, is okay with saying, you know, we're going to put an American citizen in jail for 12 years because he accidentally packed 4 rounds of ammunition in his bag? It's absolutely ridiculous. You talk about human rights abuses. Let me talk to you about the 4th anniversary of COVID lockdowns. That was yesterday, today. I can't quite remember when the day was, but 4 years ago, what I believe were some of the gravest human rights violations, certainly of my life, occurred. They announced these COVID lockdowns. It was 2 weeks to slow the spread. I remember people being afraid, but very quickly I learned that and started to feel that something was wrong, that we were ceding too many of our rights to the government, and that whenever you cede your rights to the government, it becomes very difficult to claw them back. In fact, my amazing wife, Commander Melanie, picked up on this faster than I did. I was running for office at the time, which, by the way, running for office during the lockdowns was an experience in and of itself. But when we started turning over our rights to the federal government and allowed the federal government to lock us down, I will never forget when Commander Melanie looked at me and said, I think we might have lost our country. And at the time, she was still living out in Delaware. We weren't married yet. And would drive back and forth. I mean, I have to drive to Delaware to see her, and she'd drive out here, and they had locked down interstate travel. And I remember one time driving out there and was worried. There were state troopers everywhere with these checkpoints. It was just some dystopian hellscape where police officers thought that they could pull us over and arrest us and tell us that we couldn't drive over state lines because of a virus that we knew even back then had a 99.9% survival rate. Is COVID real? Yes. We know the populations. We knew back then who it affected the most. People with pre-existing conditions and senior citizens. COVID's real. But we definitely went overboard. We locked people down. I mean, you remember the great toilet paper rush of 2020? You remember that? People, you know, people's businesses closed. They were forced to close their business, and it crushed small businesses all across this country. We printed cash to literally paid these businesses to stay closed. Why? To me, folks, we are still reeling from those human rights abuses doled out on us then. We're still suffering from them today. And my fear, you know, I still see people with masks. I mean, for God's sake, look, talk about yesterday. I talked about these college protests, these terrorist sympathizers that now professors were getting involved in the video I'm about to show. It's going to be tough for people who are listening, but the video that I'm about to show are of college professors forming a human chain around the protesters to keep these kids from being arrested, you know, for trespassing and violence. So, but one of the things that you'll see is that in 2024, all of these whack job college professors and these whack job, you know, terrorist sympathizing losers, they're all wearing masks outside. No, this isn't in Iraq or Afghanistan. This is at Columbia or NYU. Look at these people. Mask outside. This is outside. Mask. Everyone in the crowd has a mask. I mean, I suppose it's good because now you can pick out a liberal in the crowd and avoid them like the plague. You know who has the lowest IQ out there. But the propaganda was so strong, it was so devastating that it shattered people. Really, I mean, I'm making fun of the people who are still out there wearing masks today. But the propaganda was pushed on people by our government. I mean, it broke people. Yeah, I mean, again, we make fun of them, but like, think about that. Think about how horrible that was. All of the pain that our children went through with school closures. You know, we had children that missed out on 2 or 3 years of plays. Kids missed out on high school sports, time in their lives that they will never get back. Kids forced to wear masks at school who now have speech and developmental issues today. Children that were left behind in reading, writing, arithmetic. They lost out on 2 years of their education, forced into remote learning. Children, thank God, were a demographic that we knew even back then weren't really affected by COVID. And never mind the fact that even to this day, nobody's been held accountable for any of it. And that's why we can never forget. We can't forget, folks. All right. That's it. So tomorrow, Savage Rich, he's in the arena. He's coming on the show. Make sure you are here tomorrow. We're going to break down like a full electoral breakdown all over the country. We're going to get into the news of the day with Savage Rich. He's the best of the best. Make sure you tune in for that. Also, make sure that you like and rumble. Smash that little green thumb beneath the video, that little green thumb beneath where you see me in the video screen ranting. Go ahead and smash it, elbow drop it, punch that little green thumb in the face. Do what you have to do. It helps the show immensely. It's free for you, and it helps us propel us to the leaderboard. Tell your family and your friends to subscribe to Battleground Live. If you are one of the tens of thousands of people who are out there listening to the show on wherever you listen to your podcast, make your way over to Rumble. If you don't have a Rumble profile, set one up. Come on over here and subscribe to Battleground Live and get in the live chat with us. We'd love to have you during the live show. It's always more fun. Come on over here, subscribe to Battleground Live. Anyway, folks, thank you all for joining me. And again, special shout out to Rumble. Thank you for helping me keep this show going. As always, folks, hell of a show tomorrow. Savage Rich coming on. As always, God bless you all, and God bless this amazing country that we call home. Take care, good night, and I will see you tomorrow.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.